All right, happy to be joined now once again by Coach Jeff Hutton. And Coach, welcome back to MSO. It's kind of weird, the situation we're talking here, from Beverly to Manchester back to Beverly, but congratulations on, I guess, going back to the Beverly Panthers.
Yeah, thank you so much. What's the song? Who says you can't go home, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. I guess in certain situations you can go home.
That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, Coach. Before we get into what's developing and what you've been working on this summer, please give me a little overview about the end of the season at Manchester Essex, the COVID-related stuff, and your overall memories about working with the Hornets. Because I went over to see you many times, and the thing that sticks out with me, as with Rockport High School, is the fact that, man, you just don't have any numbers, but boy, are you guys competitive.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I was really proud of the kids this year. You know, when you're forced in a situation where the goal is just to play and survive and play as many games as you can, where there's no playoffs or no kind of like end goal other than to hang out with your buddies, and you know, we were put back into the league that we left because of numbers and competitiveness and that type of deal. But they came every day. They never quit. And thankfully, we never had any issues whatsoever. So, like, I told those guys at the end of the season, like, you put the team first. Like, you didn't do things that, you know, put yourself in a situation to have this to stop on us. So the fact that we made it through without a single issue was something that was pretty good for them. You know, and overall, like you just said, like, they're some tough kids. And the fact that sometimes you go into most of your games, like 90% of them, especially in the beginning of the season, where you really have a very little chance of winning. Like, you'd have to have everything go perfect and everything on the other side to kind of fall apart. But to still come every day, work hard, like, that says something about the character of the kids I was able to work with.
I read Phil Stacey's story on you, Jeff, about your working with Beverly and then Manchester Essex and going back to Beverly. And you know, your work with Coach Bauer and so on. And I think there was a quote in there about you said, you know, cutting your teeth and so on. And I don't want to say this so that it sounds denigrating, but it's almost like if the analogy in the major leagues is you go from, you know, the major leagues down to AAA to get some experience, and you go back up to the major leagues. And please, I'm not putting down Manchester Essex.
No, not at all.
But in terms of numbers, so tell me about, maybe some of the things you learned as a head coach that you might not have known going into that situation in Manchester.
Well, I think if I would have stayed on in Beverly or been able to work at a program on the same level, like numbers, status, prestige, I guess is the word I'm looking for, I may have just kind of gotten, you know, the numbers would probably take care of some of my shortfalls as a coach. Where I think when you're working with small numbers, like, you have to make sure that you've covered every, you know, dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's in your game planning, in your coaching. You really have to be over-prepared because you're one player away from the whole season kind of going down the tubes. So I think that was the major difference. Like, when you work at a small school like that, you really have to be over-prepared. It's kind of like when I taught middle school, you have to have like 10 lessons for your one class because within 5 minutes you'll know if it's good or not.
Yep.
You gotta be ready for something else.
You know, Rick and I both taught over 60 years between us, so we know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. You know, and
it's closer to 70, Tim.
I trained 8 student teachers, and one of the things I told them, I said, is, I'm not going to teach you history. You've got to learn that. And you'll learn more as you go along. But what makes a teacher is recognizing this lesson is sinking. How do I change direction? How do I represent the material? When you can do that with the kids not knowing that you're actually doing it, then you've really become a teacher. Because it's that ability, as you said, to recognize, whoop, this isn't going anywhere. I've got to do something else. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do with my football team? This game plan isn't working. How can we adjust it subtly so the kids can transition into those changes smoothly?
That's right. And, you know, you play some of those teams like the Linfields and Amesburys who have almost 400 kids to choose from, and they've got 15 studs. You're playing with four or five, and you're trying to hide or make up for some of your inadequacies, and good coaches will find it eventually. You're just hoping you can hang on for long enough. So, yeah, exactly.
As you head into the summer, I hope we can establish once again, as I had with Dan and with Andrew, and you certainly saw me hanging around at least once a week for the in the coach's office. The Panther preview, as you get ready for each weekend game, and sit down with me and talk about the upcoming opponents, our opponent, and some of the things that are going on in Beverly football.
I would love to.
Excellent, excellent. We'll get together over the summer, and we'll do a big Panther preview, and then we'll get into doing a weekly during the season.
Good. Well, give me a couple weeks, because I just met the team today.
Yeah, he's we're on summer vacation too, Coach. I know you're not, but we are. So yeah, there's no hurry.
You know, football season. What are you talking about?
Leaving the program, and in the time that you were there, you were able to establish yourself, and. What were the kids' reactions when you told them you were going to be leaving?
Well, you know, obviously that it's never easy in that transition. It's always someone's senior year, and it's never a good time. And it's even made worse now because the season really just ended less than a month ago or 2 months ago, and now the next one is going to start so much sooner. So both sides were in a time crunch, and you know, those kids gave so much and worked so hard to get where they were. So that was a really tough thing to leave. And, you know, I'm sure they're upset, but for the most part, a lot of the kids, I had a couple of kids come to the meeting and guys like reach out on huddle and text, like, congratulations, coach. It's a great move for you. Thanks for everything. So I feel like we left it in a good spot. Like, I think we finally got it to where I wanted it. You know, we had a full JV schedule this year for the first time in probably 6 or 7 years. Those kids finished 5-0-1. We finally got accepted back into a competitive league. We are going into the Commonwealth Small next year. We're waiting to hear back on dropping down to Division 8. So it's like all the ducks were lined up. And so Forever comes in next. I think they're going to be pretty happy on where we left it.
Well, now you go to Beverly, and I read that you know, you're going to work with the Wing T, modified with some passing or that kind of thing, which is,
yep.
I guess, typical.
Same stuff that we did in Manchester.
Yep. And Jeff, I got to ask you, your energy level since I've known you, and I think I have to say this about the coaches across the spectrum, in the Cal and everywhere else. Your energy level is amazing to me, and the kids, you coaches who also teach. I know at the end of the day, teaching, even when I was a young guy teaching, I was mentally exhausted, which made my whole body tired. But you know what I'm talking about, I think.
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you get re-energized when you get out there in the air and on the field. And, is there, I don't know how to ask the question, but is there sort of like, like a kickstart? You get a little, COVID sort of knocked the wind out of all of our sails. And now the thing is opening up and you're ready to hit the high seas again. This is going to be a good feeling.
Yeah, I can't wait. Like I said, I met with the kids and they're just chomping at the bit. And when I told them we can start working out next Monday, they were like high fiving and fist bumping and excited because, you know, they want that. The kids want to work. They want to get better. You know, I think they have something to prove after finishing 3-4 and like, no, they think they're better than that. And I think they are watching the game film. So they're ready to get started and turn this thing and get it back to where they want it to be.
Okay, you're the head coach now. Tell me about your staff and what you are doing now. You've met with the kids. You're meeting with the kids. Tell me a little bit about the agenda.
Yeah, so I just met with the kids today. I tried to catch a bunch of them in the hallway because there was a lot of sports going on. So I was grabbing them left and right. We had 30, 35 kids that showed up today, and I saw about 15, 20 kids in the hallway. I'm bringing over three of my assistants. One of them is my defensive coordinator and my old college roommate and one of my best friends. So it's always nice to have a guy like that who can kind of smack me back down to earth when I'm getting a little too crazy, and he coaches the O-line. So you always want your number one guy to be the O-line guy, because when you start thinking you could do all these crazy plays, he kind of reminds you. Like, our line is important, so you got to make sure they know what they're doing, too. And two other assistants, and there's a couple guys I'm going to keep from the staff here in Beverly. Dave Wilbur, Dave was I worked with Dave when I first got to Beverly. I know you remained a great relationship and friends with since then. So it was a no-brainer. I reached out to him right away. There's another assistant that's going to be joining me, and there's a couple other guys we're going to talk to, and we're really close to rounding out the whole staff.
As you put the staff together and you looked at who you wanted to bring in and who you wanted to keep, what were some of the criteria that you used?
Well, some of it was just guys that, one of the guys is a young kid named Nate Berry. A couple of years ago, I actually reached out to him if he wanted to come and coach me in Manchester, but he had just had a newborn, like a baby was born, I don't know, maybe a week or two before the season started, so he was kind of, wasn't a great time. And I was a former player of mine, and I really taught him. And he's a guy who's been at the freshman level, and the next step. He's ready to do more. So just something like that. Like, I want guys that want to work hard, guys that the kids like and respect. You know, I'm not in the building, so guys that are in the building, like Nate, makes them really easy for me when you got a guy that can be seen, he's respected by the kids. It just kind of makes my job not much easier. Other guys, you know, there's some other guys on the staff that come well, you know, highly recommended, so I haven't sat down with them yet. It's like, it's only been like 4 days, and now I met with the team, now I'm going to meet with the boosters this week, and the youth football, and then start sitting down with guys who may be interested, finishing up the schedule. We still got to find a couple scrimmages, and get the playbook in, and get ready for 7-on-7s, and then camps, and then before you know it, it's August 20th.